In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 summers ago, that's about 14 months, but summer is gone. So last summer is 2020, and the summer before is 2019. I had a couple of our kids in the car, and I was driving to Madison on I-94, and a car cut me off. It wasn't that close to being an accident, but it was close enough to where I got irritated. I could feel my blood pressure going the wrong direction. Doesn't he know there are kids in this car? I thought. Can't he put down his phone and turn down his music and limit distractions so that he can keep the rest of us alive? My grip tightened on the steering wheel, and I knew that I was a good driver and he was a bad driver. And all I wanted was just for everybody else to be a good driver too, for the children's sake. I would have told you 14 years ago that I was a good driver too. I was living in the suburban Twin Cities one summer during college, and I was heading home from an event in South Minneapolis at the church I was going to at the time. And I was northbound on Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis, coming up to Highway 55, Hiawatha Avenue, where there's an interchange and cars come down the ramp and there's a stoplight, and then you go under the viaduct and there's another stoplight. And I was coming up to the first stoplight and it was green. So I was going, but some idiot coming down the ramp off Hiawatha just went right on into the intersection and was going to turn left and go the same direction I was going, except for I was in his way. Well, I was almost in his way. I could see him coming, pulled right out in front of me. It was the closest I've ever come to a serious car accident. And it was very close. I slammed on the brakes as hard and fast as I ever had. And at the time it was a 15-year-old Ford Taurus, so now it would be like a 30-year-old Ford Taurus. And the horn was just on the steering wheel. Like, you just hit the middle of the steering wheel. So I slam the horn. And I'm driving up to the stoplight trying to stop before I broadside this guy who has pulled out in front of me. And I can still remember the face of the other driver. Surprise. And then giving way to fear when he realized how close I was. And then once I had gotten safely stopped, he stopped too, in the intersection. Mere feet away from each other. Then anger and frustration and irritation on his face. We waved at each other and yelled. And I was shocked and stunned. In fact, I got home and I was kind of shaky. But before I got home, I'm sitting there in the middle of the intersection and I look up. And above the road is the column of traffic lights. And I realize my light is red. My light was red. I thought it was green, but I had the red light. Who's the idiot now? Who's the good driver now? I had almost run a red light. The driver coming off the ramp, he had a green light. I thought he was in the wrong. It turned out I was. I thought he was the idiot being distracted and irresponsible. Turned out I was. I wasn't actually distracted, I just made a mistake. He was probably thinking, can't that guy put down his phone and turn down his music and limit his distractions to keep himself and his children alive? I didn't have any children yet, but he's probably thinking all the things that I was thinking the day that I got cut off on the way to Madison. I thought I was a good driver, maybe I am, but turns out I was still capable of nearly causing a serious accident. It's human nature to think that we're better than other people, even when it's pretty clear that we are not. It's human nature to think that other people are the ones who need forgiving, but there are special circumstances which explain my situation such that I don't actually need forgiving in the same way that they do. Well, you know, it was just an honest mistake. I wasn't texting. The result, had I hit the car, would have been the same. The guy who cut me off, he was trying to hurt my kids. He's a terrible person. Well, he was probably in a hurry and driving a little recklessly. It seems pretty compelling to think that the other people are the ones who are the problem until you realize that they're the ones thinking that about you when you're the one who misses the red light. That's what today's gospel is about. Peter asks Jesus how many times they should forgive somebody who wrongs them. And you can almost hear Peter thinks he's being really magnanimous. He thinks he's really being generous. Well, should we even forgive somebody 7 times? I mean, that kind of seems like a lot. And then Jesus tells a story about a servant who owed 10 talents, which is an insane amount of money. It's $10 million to this king. And the king forgives the servant the money. But then the servant goes to another servant who owes him 5 grand and doesn't forgive him, throws him in jail till he can pay. And when the news of that gets back to the king, it does not go well for our first servant. In God's economy, we're all the servant who owes way more than they can pay. We're all the person who runs the red light without realizing it, the person who cuts somebody off on the highway. There are no mitigating circumstances that make us less in need of forgiveness than other people. We don't get to believe that the other people are somehow worse than we are, somehow bigger sinners than we are. And so that leads us to a choice. When we're wronged by somebody else, are we able to forgive them the way that God forgave us? That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have a relationship going forward. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. But it does mean that the wrong is named and is made well in your mind. That you wish the person well going forward, even if what has happened has caused your relationship to break. And Jesus says in a very scary way at the end of the gospel reading that if you don't do that, then you won't be forgiven either. It seems like the only way to know what forgiveness means in our own lives is to give it to somebody else, to become vessels of that grace to other people. I don't know about you, but that all sounds pretty hard to me. Forgiveness is hard, especially for something serious. It's difficult to forgive real hurts. So I think this would all sound laughable if it came from anybody but Jesus. But then I remember that hymn in Philippians chapter 2 that Paul writes, that was probably in wide circulation being sung in the earliest Christian church. Your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, fully equal with God, did not consider his status with God as something to be clung to, but rather something to be given away. So he made himself human, made himself nothing, made himself a slave, subject to death, even death on a cross. The good news of the gospel is not that we have to try harder to forgive other people. The gospel is that even though we are sinners, even though we are the slave who couldn't pay, Jesus chose to become a slave, chose to become human like us, and die for us so that we could live a life of love and forgiveness in this life and forever. Even though we don't deserve it. Even though we think of each other, think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Even though sometimes we make an honest mistake and almost hurt somebody, and sometimes we just actually do make honest mistakes and hurt somebody, and sometimes we mean to hurt other people. Even though all of that is true, the gospel is that we are loved and accepted, and yes, even forgiven, if only we accept it. The only thing we can do to screw that up is not behave badly. It's not to avoid hurting somebody else, although we really want to try to do that. It's to reject forgiveness from God, and it's to reject forgiving other people. That's the only way to screw it up. Those of us who are Christians are not Christians because we're better than everybody else at driving or anything else. We're Christians because we've come to know that we are just as much in need as anyone of God's love and forgiveness And we have found it. That grace and love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.